Sometimes coyote consciousness has looked language in the eye. As with Pablo Mitchell's 2005 book, The Coyote Nation, and the use of coyote as a term, ever more multicultural and out of focus for all of us was natural background in the back blurry.
And all of a sudden, I saw
shopping
Marley's head was swathed in her hands because he was missing an ear. Sometimes coyote consciousness has gone for the eroticism in the heart of the human experience, as in Joni Mitchell's 1976 song, Coyote, about her hookup with writer and Sam Shepard. Now he's got a woman at home. He's got another woman down the hall. He seems to want me to touch the home of painter Harry Fonseca.
Coyote consciousness has been caught by the first gumdrop coyote resting in the entire series of his paintings, tends to occupy set pieces of American history. As in the marvelous part of my mind, roaring in 20th, Coyote does a little
Coyote shows up almost every day.
Tower is dropped between Sawtooth Mountains and a range incandescent bulbs propped on across the flat stretches like awakening fireflies pulsing on a summer's eve. The asphalt flew west through the range towards San Francisco and skirted the smooth road east to Vegas. Somewhere on that highway, according to the source, containing a highly toxic organic compound and lived over 2 days before. One of the vials must have opened because the guy was dead from viral endoviral virus that was
spread by Harley Quinn. The Joker's girlfriend. Open my mouth to correct him and shout at the Jewish lawyer. Heads of all colors, sizes, and shapes swivel at the same moment. Had a ring of it. Excuse me. He was a repetitive command rolled off my tongue and they shoved him in front of my tongue.
She's trying to kill me.
The screen was definitely a female, and her voice shushed.
Snapped behind him. He turned a third time, staring. His breath rising like steam in the cold air.
Games and fandoms. Some I recognize as the speeding blue blurs from a video game, or the plumbing duo who always tried to rescue the princess. Other customs just left me more confused and questioning my sanity. Mama, having let go of her dreams of selling handmade trinkets to the costume masters, had come out to visit just one time. She'd wandered up to the front desk and firmly rested her hands on the counter. I heard her suck in her breath sharply as a view of three half-naked girls with a red headset blazoned on her chest. The look of disdain on her face spurted from one of her pinched eyebrows.
Maisie, what kind of business are you running here?
Never fallen for a woman before.
Mama,
so Maggie.
She turned to me, blinked, looked, and blinked.
She planned to follow
supposed to be fun? I added, sliding yet another key across the counter to a guest. Mama sniffed.
Fun like this in my day meant there'd be a tar and feathering afterward. You'd go get some sheets and cover up those poor girls. Or you'd be expecting a rash of pneumonia to break out.
Just then, a centaur ran by. Mama stared for a second before adding,
Christian,
come to think of it, the boys could use some too.
Although I doubted the truth of old wives' tale of cruelty to serve making people ill, this time I couldn't question Mama's area of wisdom. She stared again at the guest with her shifting and disappointed expression, as if I was contributing to some poor girl's downfall and troubles back to our sweet youth. Finally, the other front desk clerk, Sierra, came to spell me. Sierra was not my favorite co-worker.
So many of our brethren
were lost. Applied for my position and been denied.
Young and naive, they perished in the name of our oldest prophecy, toil in our path to understand. The only consolation is that they died before they could realize just how broken they were. Our brethren used the prophecies to inspire the courage of mortal men. They were the ones who sought to prove the validity of the light and proclaim magic as the key. They believed that they would be redeemed through the fulfillment of the prophecies. They were not. and so our people perished.
Fell in love with the we man
are
of her
all
dreams,
that remain.
Attorney
we,
Bryce Stevens,
the keepers of the light, the custodians of the past, and the guardians of the future. We have sacrificed our lives in the hope that the first prophecy, the one that few understand, will come true. We prepare for this day. We wait for this day. We know that this day.
One of the three black eagles bearing down on them screeched a war.
Giant birds came in for the attack. He threw the lever to maximum. The silver balloon lurched toward the sky as the nozzle belched aggro into the small flame and turned it into a swirling inferno. The airship began to rise, but not fast enough to avoid the giant black birds of prey bearing down on them from the wide side of the pass.
Maz, turn the props toward the sky!
The pilot pulled a finger-thick cotter pin out of the wall next to the steering wheel. The wing on the starboard side of the ship suddenly twisted 90 degrees and began to lift them faster. Maz jammed the pin back in to lock the new position.
Deep into the city.
The British music press simply did not get it. In the second week of May 1840, the Hungarian-born piano virtuoso Franz Liszt alighted in London to begin his first tour of England. He was 28 years old and had little left to prove on the mainland.
When he was 24. By the time he died, his personal fortune had grown to more than $3 billion.
He learned from a teacher, a benefactor, as he called him, who had directed him in a kind of apprenticeship. Don Juan had, in turn, chosen me to serve as his apprentice. But he warned me that I would have to make a very deep commitment, and that the training was long and arduous. In describing his teacher, Don Juan used the word diablero. Later, I learned that diablero is a term used only by the Sonoran Indian. It refers to an evil person who practices black sorcery and is capable of transforming himself into an animal, a bird, a dog, a coyote, or any other creature. On one of my visits to Sonora, I had a peculiar experience that illustrated the Indians' feelings about diablero. I was driving at night in the company of two Indian friends when I saw an animal that seemed to be a dog crossing the highway. My friends agreed. One of my companions said it was not a dog.
And one of them suggested that it might be a diablero. I decided to use an account of the experience to question the Indians of that area about their beliefs in the existence of diablero. I talked with many people.
Strange masked festival.
Woman who is walking to town. Do you mean, Choi, that you don't believe there are diableros? Diableros? What's a diablero? Tell me what a diablero is.
Strange mask
I don't know, Choi. Manuel, who was riding with me that night, said the coyote could have been a diablero. Maybe you could tell me what a diablero is. A diablero, they say, is a brujo who changes into any form he wants to adopt. But everybody knows that's pure bull. The old people here are full of stories about diableros. You won't find that among us younger people.
Ready on the scorchers!
What kind of animal do you think it was, Doña Luz? I asked a middle-aged woman. Only God knows that for sure. But I think it wasn't a coyote. There are things that appear to be coyotes, but are not. Was a coyote running, or was it eating? It was standing most of the time, but when I first saw it, I think it was eating something. Are you sure it wasn't carrying something in its mouth? Perhaps it was, but tell me, would that make any difference? Yes, it would. If it was carrying something in its mouth, it wasn't a coyote. What was it then? It was a man or a woman. What do you call such people, Doña Luz? She didn't answer. I questioned her for a while longer, but without success. Finally,
William Atherton, Henry Barringer, and I were all fellows of St. Leonard's College. We shared the same alumni affiliations, including a club in St. James's, where Henry and I enjoyed a regular dinner.
And grows, and then she is there, an image straight from the pages of his books at home, cloaked and bound in gray, beautiful, glowing, no, blazing, with fierce, pale fire.